It's very encouraging to be part of a praying church. I know a lot of prayers have gone up this past week for my dad, for Dan's dad, for Gloria, for many, many others. I do appreciate those prayers. If you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand out of the honor. The reading of God's Word will be in John chapter 8, and we'll be reading verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the words that we have just heard. Lord, that Dan shared about your nature and your character. Father, for the songs that we've sang about what you've done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. And Lord, truly you are great. Father, as I look at these verses, they are so easy to understand. But Father, men are blind. And I would just ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to open men's eyes. That you, as the light of the world, would come today and give light to many hearts for the glory of your Son. And in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. To properly understand verse 12, we have to understand the context of what is happening here. As we looked last week, a woman caught in adultery was brought to Jesus, and they wanted to see if Jesus would stone her or whether Jesus would pardon her and let her go free. We saw that Jesus, in his saying, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her, was not just only saying stone her, but stone all breakers of God's law, which included the Pharisees who brought her to be stoned. The Pharisees, however, slinked away and kind of disappeared to leave the woman by herself. The woman then heard, where are your accusers? And she said, no one stayed to accuse me. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And as we looked last week, there'd be a lingering question, especially if you were the wife of the man that this woman committed adultery with. How can this be? How can you say this woman is worthy of death for her adultery and then turn around and just let her go? That is the question. As we looked last week, many people have struggled with that question so much they say this passage of Scripture shouldn't even be in the Bible. But we looked and saw how that shows us the gospel. But Jesus now answers that question to all those people watching, including the very Pharisees who just kind of slip behind someone else and are kind of peeking around them, peeking out the doorway to see what's really going to happen. Jesus now looks to all the people watching. This is what he says. I. Notice he doesn't say she. It doesn't say this woman. Why is this woman allowed to go free even though she is guilty of adultery and worthy of death? And the answer is because of Jesus. Not because of the woman, but because of Jesus. There is nothing in the woman that merits her forgiveness. There is nothing in the woman that should allow her to go free. It is all found in Jesus. It is not found in the woman. Sometimes we can become so guilty of staring at our belly button that we think we are the solution to our problems. No, the answer is Jesus Christ. And Jesus takes the people's eyes off of the woman, off of her sin, off of them wondering, well, I wonder if she, you know, paid him off. I wonder if she's one of his relatives. I wonder if she's a friend. I wonder, you know, maybe she whispered something we couldn't hear. No, the answer is Jesus. And Jesus is about to tell us something about who he is that explains how a woman who is guilty of death might find forgiveness in life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, many times we read way too far into these things. Jesus has some of the most profound sayings in the world, and why they are so profound is because they are so simple. What Jesus says here is about a second grade level of understanding, and even kids younger than that can understand. What does light do? It enables you to see. That's all you need to know. We don't have to go any deeper than that. Light enables you to see. Jesus came so that blind men might see. That's why he came. Have you ever heard the phrase, blinded by pride, or blind with envy, or blinded by their rage? We all are sinners and are blind to our sin. Have you ever talked with someone who has just destroyed everything they've ever touched, and yet they find the fault is always in someone else? Have you ever? It's very interesting to do marriage counseling because it's always the other person's fault. To do any type of counseling, it's always the other person's fault. Ask a Democrat, what's wrong with our country? The Republicans. Ask a Republican, what's wrong with our country? The Democrats. It's always someone else. But the truth be told, the one thing every single one of your problems has in common is you. And the one thing all of my problems has in common is me. But you know what we do? We blame our spouse. We blame our kids, our step-parents. We blame our neighbors. We blame our boss. We blame our president. We blame our Congress. We blame everyone. You know what we are? We are an arrogant fool that is completely blind, running through the woods. And every time we run into a tree, gets up and curses the person who put the tree there. You're blind. You are blind. And the reason there is so much pain in your life is because you keep running into a tree and getting up and running back into it over and over and over and over again. How many of you have ever seen this in other people? Oh, you see it all the time in everyone else. You just never see it in you. You see the woman that goes from man to man to man to man to man, that's always the man's problem. You see the man that goes from girl to girl to girl to girl to girl, and it's always the woman's fault. You see where the alcoholic is constantly destroying every friendship he's ever had. You see where the drug addict's destroying every person he's ever loved, but you do not see how you are running through the woods blind. And you keep running straight into the same oak tree, and it's never moved. You are just so blinded by your pride that you are right, that you get up and run headfirst into it again and again and again and again and again, and you wonder why you never seem to make any progress. How many of you ever felt that way? How many realize it's because you're blind? You don't see what is going on. And this is true for every single one of us. We don't see how we're destroying our marriage. We don't see how we're destroying our children. We don't see how we're destroying our workplace. We don't see how we're destroying our country or our world. We do not see how we're destroying our own church. We don't see. And what we do is we continually do it over and over and over again. And the pain is always someone else's fault. The problem is always someone else's fault. You know what? If you run through woods and it's pitch black, you are going to get hurt. And you know why you're going to get hurt? Because you're blind and you can't see. Jesus comes, though, as light. What has happened here is you got these religious people, these Pharisees, these Jews, and their problem is Pilate. Their problem is Herod. Their problem is the Romans. Their problem is the Samaritans. Their problem is the adulterous Jews. Their problem is the Sabbath breakers. Their problem is everyone else. So you know what we need to do? We need to stone the adulterous woman. And Jesus comes as light and says, okay, let's stone all lawbreakers. We talked about this last week. You know, this is where what Jesus says when he says, judge not lest you be judged. You know what he's saying? So you might want to rethink what you're saying when you say you want to stone lawbreakers. Because what you are saying can be applied to you when you break the law as well. Remember we talked last week about the man who couldn't stand the judge who let sexual deviants go, but himself was a sexual deviant let go by a judge? That's the way we are. That's the way we are. And that's why he says, get the beam out of your own eye because you can't see clearly. We are blind, and Jesus comes to show us our sin. He comes and he flips on the light. But you know what happens when you flip on the light in Florida? All the cockroaches run for the darkness. And what happens when Jesus flips on the light of God's law and says, stone all lawbreakers? Guess what happens? All the Pharisee cockroaches run for hiding. Why? Because if they stay in the light, guess what happens? Their deeds are exposed. So Jesus speaks of being the light. What Jesus came to do is to expose you. He came to expose every private thing you've ever done, every private conversation you've ever had, every sin, every skeleton in your closet. Jesus did not come to sweep things under the rug. Jesus came to rip the door off the hinges and turn a floodlight in and let everything out. I remember hearing a pastor say one time, my job is I cover up sin for a living. Well, you don't follow the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cleans out the closet for a living. Jesus Christ goes through your garbage from 40 years ago. Have you ever seen him with the woman at the well? How long does it take before he starts talking about her garbage and her past? Everyone he meets, that's what he does. Jesus has very, 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 very few long conversations. Almost every conversation with Jesus is less than 5 minutes. He meets them. He doesn't even bother to find out their name. And he talks about their adultery. Isn't that not what happened with this woman, the woman at the well? This is what he does. He meets someone. He doesn't even learn their name. Within 2 minutes, he's talking about their hypocrisy. He's talking about their judging other people. He's talking about their lying. He's talking about their theft. He's talking about their adultery. He's talking about everything that they do wrong, their hatred for Samaritans. This is what he does. Jesus is light. Jesus comes to expose sin. He comes to show the world what you really are when no one else is around. That's what Jesus came to do. And why does he say that? Because that's what he just did. Here's a woman caught in adultery. How many of you, if you were that woman, would want to crawl in a hole and die? Jesus doesn't dig you a hole. Jesus doesn't cover you. Jesus leaves you there exposed. Okay? If she was caught in adultery in the very act, she was probably very indecent. Jesus doesn't throw a blanket over her. He leaves her there. But you know, Jesus doesn't just do that with her. He does it with everyone else watching. Because guess what happens when people begin to back away from the stoning? What are they saying? I'm guilty. And I don't want to be guilty. I don't want to be stoned. I don't want to be here. I'm going to pretend none of this ever happened. How many of you have ever seen people like that? We just need to forget the past and move on. No, we need to make the past right before we can ever move on. Well, we just need to, there's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Pretend like this never happened. No. God does not do that. Neither does Jesus Christ. Notice what he says next. I am the light of the world. He that follows me. I want us to just stop for a minute because this is my opinion, one of the greatest lies and heresies that is preached in churches in America today. And that is that salvation is a moment in time transaction. Okay? This is where you young people who are studying Latin and English and Spanish and all those other things, you need to pay attention. Okay? Language means something. Verb tense means something. You need to learn these things and study these things because there are tenses. Okay, you know, there's the active voice and passive voice, and there's present tense, past tense, perfect tense, future tense, pluperfect tense, all those future perfect tenses. All of those matter. I know you hated them in Latin class, but they actually matter because they change the meaning of whether you're even saved or not. Because there is a verb tense that, if we could describe it, is what's called punctiliar. It's a dot. It's at one point in time, something happened. At one point in time in history, it is just a moment, it's there, it's done, it's history, it's gone. And this is what many people teach concerning salvation. And it is a lie from the pits of hell. That salvation is where you get your ticket to heaven. How many of you have ever heard that? Seen a gospel tract like that? How many of you have ever found it in the Bible? It's not there. How many of y'all have ever heard testimonies that go something like this? On May 14th, 1996, I was saved. How many of y'all have ever seen a testimony like that anywhere in Scripture? It's not. It's not there. Go read 1 John. The book that tells you whether you how you can know that you are saved. And it doesn't say, look at the baptismal certificate on the wall the next time you doubt your salvation. It doesn't say, write that date in the front of the Bible. It doesn't say that. Why? He that follows. That is a present tense. That is a current, continuous action. It is not a moment in time from the past. It is a present, active, continuous action. There's a verb tense that Jesus uses in his very first sermon. He says, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And the verb tense for repent and the verb tense for believe, if you were to draw it on a chalkboard, it's a dot followed by an arrow that never ends. To translate it into English, it means this. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. Repent and continue to repent the rest of your life. Believe and continue to believe the rest of your life. It is not some moment in time transaction that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It is a current thing. It is something that began and continues. That would really make a good Bible verse. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You'd almost think that was there. But you see, we have this idea and it's a lie. You can't even find a Bible verse to take out of context. You know, taking context is where you twist a verse to make it say something it doesn't say. There's not even a verse you can twist to make it say that. The salvation is some moment in time transaction way back when. No. As Martin Luther said in one of his 95 theses, when our Lord Jesus Christ said, repent, what he meant is that the whole of the Christian life is to be repentance. How do you know that you repented and believed? Because today you are still repenting and you are still believing. It is a continuous action. That's why when you go to 1 John, even as Dan read this morning, how do we know that we're saved? Because we are presently, currently in this moment walking in the light. We are presently, currently in this moment confessing our sins. We are presently in this moment following Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks of the broad way and the narrow way in Matthew 7, and he speaks of the broad gate and the narrow gate. There is this teaching out there that you can go through the narrow gate and follow the broad highway. You can't. How do you know you went through the narrow gate? Because you remember the date? No, because you're on the narrow way. Many people forget the day. Many people don't even know the day. All they know is that they're following Jesus and that's all that matters. How many of you remember the day you were born? Who cares? You're breathing, aren't you? Does it really matter if you remember? What would you think of someone who has written on the top of their casket, I remember very clearly the day I was born, yet they're dead and don't breathe? Good for you. You're dead as a doornail. And yet that's many people's salvation. He that follows me. He that follows me. It's a continuous action. It is not something you did in the past. It's something you are doing today. Right now in this moment. Notice what it says next. He that follows me. And this is where Jesus is so simple. I mean, Jesus doesn't even have to say anything else. But he says it anyway. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. That was deep. If you walk with light, you won't be in the darkness. Let's put this in the nice southern version. If you walk outside at noontime, it ain't dark. That's not very deep. But you know what? This condemns a whole lot of people. What this means is this. If you are walking with Jesus, you are walking in light. It's exactly what Dan read this morning. And if you are walking in darkness while saying you follow Jesus, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Where do you think John got that message in 1 John 1? Maybe in John chapter 8. You see, we have this idea that I can live in darkness yet follow Jesus. No, you can't. And this will help you to understand so much. How many of y'all have ever heard the saying, there are hypocrites in the church? How many of y'all know that for most so-called churches, that is 100% the truth? You know why? Because it's people who live in darkness, yet say they walk in light. And they use religion to cover up for the way they live the other 6 days of the week. And they use religion to cover it up. And they come to church. And how many of y'all ever noticed that all the hypocrites that are friends with people at church aren't friends with the same people on Monday? Have you ever noticed that? Okay, if you go to a church that's filled with hypocrites, all the hypocrites are thick as thieves on Sundays, but not Friday nights. I've told you all the joke before about you know, you don't ever take two don't ever take one Baptist fishing with you. Take two. Because if you take one, he'll drink all your beer. If you take two, they'll both pretend like they don't drink. Haven't you seen this? Haven't you seen it? It's the truth. But you know what it is? It's lost people. You know what it means to walk in the light? What you see is what you get. I have nothing to hide. Being in the light is being open and honest and forthright behind someone's back the same way you are to their face. The way you are at home, the way you are in public. The way you speak to your children when you're in private and the way you speak to your children when you're at church. The way you treat your wife in the car ride to church and the way you treat your wife at church are the same. There is no, oh no, so-and-so just pulled in our driveway, what are we going to do? There is no, oh no, so-and-so showed up at work, oh no, so-and-so's at the same restaurant with me. Because what you see is what you are. It's in the light. You know why you turn the lights down low? It's because you don't want anybody to see. Okay? Many times that's why, and I shouldn't say this, but that's why they do it in romantic restaurants, because then you can't see how ugly your date is. They turn the lights down. Okay? Why? Why? Because the darker it is, the harder it is to see. Why, when you go to a dentist, do they shine a bright light in your mouth? They want to see! They want to see. When you go to the doctor and you say, my throat's sore, what do? They shine a light down your throat. You went for surgery, what do? Big bright lights. Why? Because they want to see. Don't you want the doctor to see? If he's doing open heart surgery, don't you want him to cut on the right thing, not the wrong thing? Do you want him to do it in the dark? But we live our lives in the dark. That the way we treat our children and our grandchildren is entirely different in public than it is in private. The way we treat our spouse, the way we treat our parents, the way we treat others, the way we treat people in the church, the way we smile and shake their hand, and then the way we speak on them when they're not present. You know what it shows? Whether we're in the light or whether we're in darkness. Now, what is Jesus saying? That if you follow Him, you are going to live an open, honest, what you see is what I am life that is full of open confession of sin. Isn't that what we read in 1 John? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What is He saying? If you are walking in the light, you know what you're going to be doing? Confessing your sins. If you are in the darkness, you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be running from every opportunity to confess sin. It's very interesting to watch people, to read people and read stories about people and watch people in scandals. You can do this with politicians. Unfortunately, you can do it with preachers, too. And I've followed different preachers who've been caught red-handed. doing many different things. And you know how you can tell what's a preacher and what's a wolf in sheep's clothing? That the preacher, when he is actually caught or does something wrong and it comes out, looks people square in the eye and says, "I was wrong. Please forgive me." And the wolf in sheep's clothing says, "Well, just look how bad the person is saying this about me," and figure it out from there. There's really more information that I'm just so good and holy I can't share with you. No. What do people walking in the light do? When confronted with the truth, they say, "Amen, that's true," even if it means they get stoned. Do you see how this applies? Who is the only person that stayed in Jesus' light? The woman that was caught in adultery. What do the others do? "I'm not guilty, but you know, I'm going to kind of bow out of this. You know, I'm going to leave this in Jesus' hands. I didn't do anything worthy of death at all. Don't interpret that, but I don't think I'm going to stick around for this stoning. I got some beans on the stove." That's what they did. Why? What are they doing? They're running for the dark. Why? Why would they not freely stand and say, "You're right. I have broken the law of God and I'm worthy of death"? Because they're not following Jesus. They're lost. And notice what Jesus says. "But shall have the light." Again, this is so... I'm light. If you're with me, you're not in darkness, you're in the light. Well, that's pretty simple. But notice it's not... He's here not talking about the light. Notice what he says. What type of light? The light of life. Why is life so important? Well, there was a woman that should be dead, right? There's a woman that, according to everyone, including Jesus, should be dead, but she's not dead. And the question that they are asking is, how can this woman have life? How can you say this woman is worthy of death and then say go and not kill her? How does she get life? You know how she gets life? By coming to the light. That's how she got life, is by staying in the light, by being there and openly acknowledging her guilt, her shame, her adultery, her sin, her condemnation. That is where she got light. "Whoever covers his sin shall not prosper." It's in the Proverbs. "But whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." You'd almost think that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. And that the way to forgiveness from sin is just what Dan read this morning. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what Jesus is saying is, this is what it means to have eternal life. How do you know that you have eternal life? How do you know that you are right with God? How do you know that you are born again? How do you know that you believe in Jesus? How do you know that you are repentant? How do you know that you are saved? How do you know that you are right with God? How do you know that you are justified? How do you know that you're not going to hell? How do you know that your sins are forgiven? How do you know you're on your way to heaven? How do you know you walk in the light as He is in the light? And we have fellowship one with another. Exactly what Jesus said. So we must ask this question. Not, do you say you believe in Jesus? Not, have you prayed a prayer? Not, are you a member of a church? Not, were you baptized? Not, have you done some religious thing? Do you have some date memorized and written down? Not, did you have some experience? Not, did you do something 20 years ago? We must ask one question. Are you walking in the light? Are you walking an open and honest acknowledgement of your sin and your guilt and a free confession of all that you have done wrong and seeking the forgiveness of God and others? That is the mark of a converted man or woman. And no matter what you may say, no matter what you may have done in the past, if you cannot bring yourself to openly acknowledge your sin as sin and your guilt as guilt, and to confess your sins to the people you have wronged and sinned against and ask their forgiveness and confess your sins to God. You, no matter what you may have done, what position you may have held in the church, no matter what you may have done, how many times you've been baptized, how many pieces of paper you have on the wall, how many dates you have memorized, are lost. You are lost. So how does this woman go free? She confesses her sin. And you know what she receives? Life. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here's a very simple question. Are you someone who is openly confessing your faults exactly as we are commanded to do in 1 John 1 and James 5? Are you? Are you someone that can look someone square in the eye that you have wronged and said, I am wrong, will you forgive me? If you cannot do that, it is because you are lost and you are on your way to hell. Remember that Jesus said, you know, if we don't go to the one, we're in danger of judgment. If we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. Remember, if we don't get the beam out of our own eye, we're blind. You see, Jesus is speaking here, and it covers the whole of Scripture. You know, it's very interesting. If you were the devil, and you wanted to play tricks on people, and you wanted to win, you know what you would do? You would try to convince saved people they're lost, and try to convince lost people they're saved. You know what happens all the time? I encounter this all the time. I encounter people who are caught in some of the most gross, ungodly sin imaginable. And they say, don't worry about my salvation, preacher. I'm good. I got that taken care of years ago. You're the very one I'm worried about your salvation. And I have people come to me and they say, Pastor, I did this 2 years ago and I have asked God to forgive me. I have asked everyone I can think of to forgive me. I have been, and there's no way I can be saved because of what I did 2 years ago. I know I've asked every single person on planet Earth 12 times to forgive me. I have begged and pleaded God to forgive me, but I just can't be saved. I'm not worried about your salvation. You know why? Because you're living in the light. You're living in the light. I'm not worried about the person who comes to me and says, Pastor, my marriage is a mess because of what I've done. I'm worried about the person who says, my marriage is a mess and you need to call up my husband and let him know it. That's the person I'm worried about. Why? Because the person who walks in the light, they have eternal life. And the person who walks in darkness doesn't know the Lord. You know, this is a very good lesson for us as a church. There was a church one time that had a man that was so drunk, he was a member of the church. He showed up on a Sunday morning so drunk and was so disruptive to the service that they could not even partake communion. So the church confronted him, he refused to repent, and so they kicked him out of the church. He came back several months later, stood in front of the whole congregation, confessed his sin, acknowledged his drunkenness and his sin against God, and asked them to forgive him. And he was welcomed back into the church. That church is this church. Why? If you walk in darkness, there's the door. If you want to confess sin, you are welcome. We don't play the hypocrite game. You know, some people say, well, if people knew what I did, they would say, join the club. Join the club. All we are here is sinners forgiven by God's grace. And if you're not willing to acknowledge your sin, then you're not one of us. God's people are a people who walk in the light and freely confess their sin. That is who we are. Part of the Christian life is going to people and asking them forgiveness. Isn't that the mark of Zacchaeus' conversion? Oh, no, Zacchaeus was converted because he got baptized. No, Jesus didn't say salvation came to his house because he got baptized. He wrote it in the front of his Bible. No, how did Jesus know that salvation had come to Zacchaeus? When Zacchaeus said, "The person I have wronged, I will restore fourfold." There's no doubt about Zacchaeus' salvation when he knocks on the door and says, "Remember 15 years ago when I stole 10 bucks from you? Here's 40 bucks. Please forgive me." There's no doubt about that man. But the man who says, "You know what? It was 10 years ago. Who cares? God cares." That's who. To be saved is to walk in the light. If you're here and you're living in the darkness, the answer is really simple. Come to the light. That's it. Confess your sin. Remember, there were two thieves on the cross. Weren't there? Remember? And both of them mocked Jesus. Remember? And then one of them told the other one to stop mocking him. Why? He said, "Because we are worthy of death." But this man has done nothing. And who was the one that heard, "Today you'll be with me in paradise"? The one that said, "We are guilty. We are worthy of death." Sounds a lot like this woman, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like everyone in Scripture. Sounds a lot like, you know, one of the things that I love this, one of the proofs that the Bible's inspired is that the writers of the Bible put all their faults and sins for everyone to see. Let me ask you this. If you were Peter and Matthew was writing about your betrayal, don't you think you could call in a favor? "Matthew, why don't we just kind of drop that one?" If you were Paul and your friend Luke was writing the book of Acts right next to you in the jail cell, don't you think you'd say, "Hey, Theophilus and all the rest of the people, they don't need to know about all that blasphemer and persecuting the church stuff"? Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christianity is a religion of light, of openness, honesty, confession of sin. And those who follow Jesus don't walk in darkness. This is what it means to have eternal life. Amen.